Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
All right, just after 9:30, continuing now with our leadership candidate interviews, the second and final round of them. All of the UCP leadership candidates have been invited to join us, and all of them did the first time around, and we're hopeful that all of them will again the second time around. Right now, very pleased to welcome Brian Jean to the show. Mr. Jean, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate you joining us today.
Shay, my pleasure, and I thought we got past Mr. Jean almost a decade ago, but
fair enough.
Please call me Brian, please.
Old habits die hard. I want to start with what I think has become one of the most talked about moments in this campaign, and it was quite remarkable. I don't know if I've ever seen it before. You and three of your campaign rivals coming together on one stage to denounce another candidate's policy, that being, of course, Danielle Smith's Sovereignty Act. Tell me how that moment came about. Were you behind the effort to get everybody in the same place at the same time? How did it happen?
Well, it's no secret that, I called and talked to many of the candidates and talked to them in relation to what was happening and where we were going. And, you know, my campaign has always been about autonomy for Albertans, but, you know, giving people more control over their lives. But during that process, I always tell them the truth. You know, I want to make people, Albertans, happier, healthier, more free and more prosperous, the most of anybody in the world. And I think it's definitely possible. But, you know, the Sovereignty Act, or the blank piece of paper that we've seen, we still don't know which Sovereignty Act is going to be proposed or which one we will get, the unconstitutional version, which will be quashed by the courts and frankly won't go anywhere and will damage our premier and our province. Or the other one, which is, a document that frankly will be meaningless. It's a non-binding motion that is actually more dangerous because it will make people supporting it angry. And when they see that they can't do anything about it except for say words, I just don't think it's going to help. And I don't believe that you should tell people you're going to do things that you cannot do. It is a formula that harms democracy. And I think people already have distrust enough for politicians, and we need to get them to trust us, not to distrust us. So I've raised my concerns, and now it is up to the voters. But I think it's clear that I've called out and other candidates have called out something that is, frankly, a fairy tale.
And of course, that's the one side of the argument. And I can't tell you how many texts, and I've already got some this morning from people saying it smells of desperation. It smells of fear. They're running scared. Are you concerned about where this race appears to be headed? I mean, we've still got almost a month to go.
We do. Probably 30 to 50% of the people have already voted. But, this does not reek of desperation. This reeks of, I don't want to, clearly, let's just say that, I don't want to make up things along the ride, and I never have. This is not about anybody but Danielle. It's not about an anyone but Danielle thing. I mean, I've cleaned up Danielle's messes before. I know what it's all about. I was part, after the floor crossing, I had to go in and run for the leadership and then deal with all of that at the door. And I will tell you, there was a lot of disgusted Albertans at the door, and it was very difficult to explain to them that I wasn't part of that floor crossing. But this is anything but tricking members thing. This isn't personal against Danielle. It's not an anybody but Danielle thing. But I don't want to trick members and then not say anything and then come back in 6 months or 8 months and they're going to be very angry, because people are angry. You go to rural Alberta, people are upset and angry because they feel that we're not getting a fair shake from Ottawa. And, that's why I proposed to follow the rules of the Constitution, open up the Constitution, and let's have a discussion. Let's sit around the table. And even she's admitted that with the Sovereignty Act or whatever it is, sooner or later, we're going to have to get to negotiations, because that's the only way things change is negotiations. Just like a bad marriage, just like a bad partnership. Let's get to the table and let's have a discussion and let's change things. And the other provinces are ready right now. They really, really are ready. Healthcare is a mess, and they know if it continues like this, it's going to be, frankly, provinces are going to go bankrupt, and they're going to turn the healthcare back over to the federal government because they're starving us on money. And that's why we need to go and have that discussion. We need to have the discussion of the pipeline ban. Just about every province has joined our appeal on the pipeline ban that the federal government has imposed, because it's a clear jurisdictional issue and they have infringed on provincial jurisdiction. And that's why all the provinces are coming to the table. And that's what we need to do, is come to the table and hold the federal government to account. Don't let them use our money to extort our behavior. let's make sure that we are united as provinces and we get a fair deal, because all of us are in the same boat right now. We're very unhappy with Confederation.
I'm glad you bring up healthcare, because I wanted to ask you. I mean, I think so much of this campaign has been dominated by the Sovereignty Act, and some other issues we need to talk about, and I'm glad you're bringing up healthcare. Let me just put an example to you, a situation, and I'm sure you've heard the story, in Calgary, a young man injured in a hockey practice. He spent 45 minutes lying on the ice before the fire department came and helped him out. An ambulance was never sent because there were never one available. I mean, we've got, you know, frontline primary care concerns with healthcare. Shouldn't we be talking about that? And what's your plan to make that better if I need to go see a doctor this weekend?
Shay, you are absolutely right. I've said this time and time again. Everybody's dominated by a blank piece of paper. We don't even know what's going to be on it. It's all about talk and the posturing. Healthcare is falling apart. In my own riding, we've seen the hospitals close down for the weekend. That means, you know, a population of 6,000 to 8,000 people don't have a hospital within any kind of range. The justice system, we have, you know, rural crime is up 42%. Our education system is frankly not like it was. It's not number one in the world, and we need to get back to educating kids, not talking about politics and politicizing their behavior and what their expectation is. We need to get back to real classical education where our kids are number one in the world again. And let's talk about mental health for a second. Nobody's talking about it, but, you know, as a society, we need to talk about mental health. We need to make it part of our health care. We need to make it part of the health care formula so that we get people the mental health care so they can avoid the physical health care, because, you know, mental health is a big issue right now. And we as a society just keep ignoring it. And I think we have to make it a serious part of what we need to do for our healthcare system here in Alberta. And, you know, we spend almost 50% of our budget on healthcare, and it's climbing every single year. And our outcomes are frankly very dismal compared to other countries in the world, other developed countries. It's very dismal, and we pay more than anywhere else. So yes, I agree with you, Shay. Let's get past the piece of paper that's actually blank and we don't know what's going to come forward. And let's talk about the things that really matter. And let's talk about who's going to fix that. And Shay, you know, I lost my son to healthcare in Edmonton. Yep. And, you know, I've owned a house ever since. I've been there ever since, because I believe healthcare is a very, very important issue. And the number one issue for me in this campaign is healthcare, mental health, physical health, making sure that we get our hospitals open, making sure we have enough doctors, enough nurses, enough nurse practitioners, enough physician's assistants. I promise this, and I have the most comprehensive healthcare plan and platform out there. And it's, frankly, years and years and years of looking at it, looking at what the federal government's requirements are, looking at what other provinces are doing, and frankly, looking at what the world's doing. Northern Europe has some great healthcare. They have the ability for our seniors to stay at home and to save a ton of money, but more than that, get a better quality of life and better physical care for them. And there's so many opportunities. The Auditor General's report in 2017 laid out specifically what we need to do to fix our healthcare system. And what have we done? Nothing. It sits on a shelf somewhere, and we haven't actually addressed the issue. And it's not money. It's all about behavior and operations and things that I'm good at, setting up things that work. And I will promise Albertans that if I do nothing else, I will fix our healthcare system, mental healthcare system, our justice system, and make sure that education is number one again and stays in the hands of parents.
Okay, Brian, I'll just go back to where we started, and I appreciate you talking about all those issues. I think they're all important. But for example, this kid lying on the ice for 45 minutes, and he's not the only one. We've seen pictures of people lying on the floor in the Misericordia ER garage this weekend. You're elected. You're the leader. What do you do this weekend to make sure that stops?
Immediately enable our nurse practitioners, the legislative change so that 700 nurse practitioners can get out in rural Alberta and keep these hospitals open. Change the regulations so that we don't have all this red tape that requires all of these things that aren't real health care, that are just impractical steps on where we are right now and the expectation of AHS. It's ridiculous. Like, I watched my son die for 5 months in the healthcare system, and it could have been avoided 100%. It is the system that is broken, and it's not the people, but we need to get more people. We need to look at opportunities for foreign credential recognition immediately. We need to train nurses that are already partially trained and ready to come to Canada. We need to get them into our schools and colleges right across Alberta that are empty right now, by the way. Portage College, Kiano College, they have space available for more nurses, for the ability for us to train people immediately. So there's no silver bullet, but I've got a lot of silver bullets that are part of the solution, and they're very clear on Facebook or brianjean.ca. It lays out a very comprehensive healthcare plan, and we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We just have to get at the serious need of healthcare. And one of the things we have to do is stop closing hospitals wherever they are. Stop closing them. Get the people in there get them ready. And Shay, we know right now that we pay more for healthcare than anybody else,
of course,
pretty much in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
And our outcomes are like dismal. They're under the 30 as far as developed countries. So we know we can fix it, but we need to fix it utilizing the people, the nurses, the doctors, the technicians, the nurse practitioners. We need to get them as part of the solution because they are the pillars of our community. And I think a lot of politicians think they're the enemy, and I don't get that because they're the people that set up our communities, that make them communities and heal the sick. We need to be respectful to them and make them part of the solution, not part of the problem. And I think that's something that has not been done properly, and that's why I keep saying the same thing. You know, nurses, doctors, all of these people that work, teachers included, they are the pillars of our community, and we have to respect them. And we have to listen to them, and we have to make them part of the solution going forward because they want what we want, better healthcare, better education.
Yeah. Better communities, yeah. Okay, last one, and then I'll let you out of here. Same question I'm asking all of the candidates. Should you not be elected leader, do you stick around? Do you run in the next election? Do you become part of the team? This is all about unity.
It is about unity, and that's why I'm back. You know, a year ago, I made it very clear that we need to renew the party in order to be competitive against the NDP. I don't want to lose to the NDP. I saw what they did last time, and I think my town will be devastated. Our province will be devastated, and I don't think people see clearly what took place. So it is about unity. I'm here to unify the party, and win or lose, I'm going to be staying to make sure that we beat the NDP in the next election, and that's what it's all about, clearly, because I think we have better policies, we have better principles, and frankly, we search for better outcomes. We just need to make sure we have the right leader in place, and I believe I am that leader, and that's why I'm asking people to vote number one on the ballot next week. At least keep me on the ballot. Vote the entire ballot, like vote all seven people. I would ask people to put me in number one and put Danielle Smith at number seven, because I think the truth is that she would be a good part of the cabinet, good part of the caucus, but these kind of behaviors and these kind of signals from leaders are very damaging to the party and frankly, to the province.
Brian, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you joining us as always, sir.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.